So what I'm going to do, I'm firstly going to look at the introduction of chapter 2, which talks about the birth of Jesus, and then I'm going to transform it or translate it from there into the story of the shepherds. But it's always important when you read the Bible, often to look at context to see what the Bible is seeing in a greater perspective. And so the story begins in chapter 2, and it says this: "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph, who went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to the firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." And so the context of this is this, is that it's the time of Caesar Augustus had issued a decree throughout the Roman world that it was time for a census to take place. Caesar Augustus had come to power. He was the son of an adopted son of Julius Caesar. And he had defeated all claimants to the Roman throne and turned the Roman Republic into an empire with himself at the head. So in other words, he became an incredibly powerful man within the Roman Empire. And he called a census, and he called that in order to find out more about his kingdom and his subjects and who he ruled and reigned over. And so he was a man of great power. He's a man of a great authority. He was one who would have been known throughout the Roman world, and everyone would have known about him. But what's fascinating about this story is this. We see the power of the kingdoms of this world in its might through Augustus. But we begin to see a different kingdom beginning to present itself, not as a mighty, powerful king, but as the emergence of Jesus. He steps into the world as a baby to confront the powers of this world. Is this how you would do it? And what I think is incredibly challenging is the vulnerability and apparent weakness of God's kingdom. And so it's an interesting context, isn't it? The power of Rome, and a baby has arrived, born in a manger in the little town of Bethlehem. And the wonderful thing there, the kingdom of God is on its way. The king has come. The king will defeat all powers of the earth. One day every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the context. And so we then transported them from manger, where Jesus has been born. Mary and Joseph have come to sign the census to tell who they were, where they live, etc., etc. And we're transported then into the fields where the shepherds are tending their sheep. And it says this: "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night." And so this is a very, very ordinary story in Jerusalem, in Israel, in that particular region. Shepherds are always tending their sheep. It's a very normal thing. It's the everyday. And they would be out on the hillside, looking over the sheep, protecting them from the lion and the bear. They did that 24 hours a day. And what they're particularly referring to this time is like the night shift. The shepherds at that particular time of night were in the mountains, looking after the sheep, doing what they normally do. It's also very interesting in the passage of Luke that he refers only to the shepherds, but not to the kings. The shepherds in the New and Old Testament were the outcasts of society. They were the lowest of the low. They're the ones that were always, they were out in the fields, and they weren't good enough to be part of society as people knew it. And what's fascinating about the shepherd, the outsider, it is the means by which Jesus chooses to reveal himself and his ministry. In Micah 5 it says, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. So firstly, God is referring to himself, I'm going to be like a shepherd. That is how I'm going to come. I'm going to come like an outsider. John 10 says this, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and the sheep know me. I am the outsider and I'm going to come to the sheep who are outside and they're going to know me. David describes the Lord as his shepherd. David describes the Lord as the one shepherd. Psalm 23, he describes what the shepherd is like. So it's a fascinating thing. The shepherds on the mountainside looking after sheep in a very ordinary context, and we begin to see the plot line being sown that the outsiders are going to be welcomed in. And so we see this very normal evening, quite normal as ever it was going, and suddenly it says the angel of the Lord appeared to them and the glory of the Lord shone around them and they were terrified. There's two good reasons for them being terrified. One, they're going to meet an angel. And secondly, they're going to come into the presence of the glory of the Lord. And the first thing is, it says the angel of the Lord appeared to them. Angels at Christmas, we begin to sort of think about them other than fairies. We kind of stick them on top of Christmas trees, don't we? And we forget the power of the presence of angels when they appear to men. They're heavenly beings who come along to earth to herald in something of God. And so to meet an angel is an incredible thing. It says this in Revelation when John met an angel. It says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet, though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. And then it says this, then the glory of the Lord shone around them and they were terrified. So their eyes were open to the heavenlies. Their eyes were open to the kingdom of God upon this earth. They came into the presence of the angelic being, which was welcoming in the good news, which we're going to go to look at in a moment. But also the glory of the Lord was around. And you see, the glory of the Lord was God's revelation of himself. And in the Old Testament, we see signs and symbols of how God manifests himself upon the earth. We see it in the intense light. We see it through fire. We see it through lightning. We see it through great revelations of God breaking out upon the earth. And the glory of the Lord in the Old Testament was located in a space. In the example of the tabernacle, only the high priest was able to go into God's presence, and he's only able to do that once a year. So these shepherds who were minding their own business on the mountain, looking after the sheep, suddenly had their life broken into by the presence of God. And so they were terrified. And then it goes on and says, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. And that's the wonderful thing about God, isn't it? That the fear of the Lord, so often it's a good thing to fear the Lord in the right sense. It's not fear of the Lord in, oh my gosh, God's not for me. But it's actually, my gosh, look how powerful he is. Isn't God amazing? It's actually, wow. It's overwhelming. So often we bring God down to the baby Jesus, which is what he is and what he came as. But he also came as the Lord Mighty, Almighty. And then it says this. It says, do not be afraid. And then he says, today in the town of... It says, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for you and for all the people. And so we have the revelation to the angel speaking to the shepherds that the good news is here. Good news, another word for good news is gospel. The gospel is here. The good news is here. Why is it good news? It's going to bring great joy and it's for all people. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. It's a universal message for everybody. And it's wonderful news. It's of great joy. Then the angel goes on to say, today in the town of David, a savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. It's good news. It's great joy and it's for all people. And you see, why is it good news? Because the arrival of Jesus has ushered in God's salvation plan. It's good news, it's great joy, for all those who respond to God's invitation. Salvation is not a distant hope, it is now expected to be now. The good news, the great joy for all people. Then it goes on to say, what is that great news? What is that great joy? It says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And what's interesting about this is that Luke has been very specific in the names he refers to Jesus. It's not just a baby who's arrived in town. It's not just a lovely little baby that looks gorgeous, and it's actually the person that has come has three names. One, the Savior. Two, he is Christ. And thirdly, he is the Lord. And the angel calls Jesus Savior because he's attributing to Jesus the same qualities that belong to God. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen God. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. God has come to town. Emmanuel, God is with us. God has stepped into the history of mankind and put his foot upon the earth. Secondly, he is Christ, which means he's the Messiah, he's the anointed king. And Jesus, in I think it's Luke 4:18, identifies himself as the anointed one. He says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The anointing is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He's saying he's the anointed king. He is the Christ. He's the one that was prophesied about in the Old Testament. So he's the one that they are waiting for, the anointed king. And finally, he used the term the Lord, which refers to the Old Testament understanding of God as Yahweh. He's linking the old with the new. The Lord, Yahweh, God is here. There's no misunderstanding of who's turned up in town. God himself has stepped into the history of mankind. And the arrival of Jesus fulfills that which was spoken through Isaiah 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And then he goes on to say, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called a Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne in David's town, Bethlehem. It's interesting, isn't it? Over his kingdom, establishing, upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And then it goes on to say, there will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And so the sign to the shepherds was you're going to find a baby in a manger. And what was interesting about that is mostly, I was looked into the background, and what is most commonly understood in this particular situation is in a typical Jewish household, you'd have two levels. You'd have the upstairs, which would be where the family sleeps. Then downstairs would be the place where you bring in your cattle in order to protect them from being stolen from people and to keep them inside, etc., etc. And so the place you would sleep would be upstairs, and the place where the cattle would be downstairs. But for some reason, whether it's an inn or whatever it is, there's no room in the place you normally sleep. And so the baby is put in a manger where all the animals are. So for the shepherds, that would be a very unusual place for a baby to be located. So for them, that would be the difference between the locating. The sign will be, he won't be in the normal place. He'll be in the manger. You'll know where he is. You'll be able to find him. Then it goes on to say, suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appear with the angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. And see, we have a movement here from an angel declaring God. Secondly, we see the glory of God, and suddenly heaven is open. So they want to join in, you see. Jesus has arrived upon the earth. Heaven is there worshipping what is on its way. So it's a fantastic event that's happened. Heaven is open and the angels are crying, glory to God in the highest and peace to the men on whom his favor rests. An interesting thing, the word glory to God in the highest is the very beginning of God's life and at the end of God's life. In the beginning, as we've seen, when he's made it, we see the songs sung by the angels. But we also hear, do you remember Palm Sunday? Glory to God in the highest. Israel sung that song, rejoicing in Jesus coming into the city on a colt, because God was coming to town. Emmanuel, God with us. As a baby, God with us. At the end, God with us. And the entrance of the king and the last phase was a week later, he was going to die upon the cross so that God with us could bring us into relationship with him. And the wonderful thing about God's ministry is this, a promise of peace to those who respond to his invitation. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. The favor of the Lord rests on anybody who responds to Jesus. So you can't lose out. God so loved the world. The favor is upon all those who respond to his invitation. Jesus says, as peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. And there's something amazing about God's peace. It's just not like the way of the world, is it? And the word peace is a well-known phrase which many of you have probably heard. It's shalom, which means peace. And what that means, it means right relationship with God. Everything is in balance. It's as it should be. And so when we have a relationship with Jesus, everything is as it should be. Out of relationship with him, we lose our peace, don't we? And things aren't as they should be. And so when the Lord comes, the Prince of Peace, and we recognize him as Lord, things are as they should be. Shalom, peace. God is with us. And then it says the angels left them and had gone into heaven. And so that must have been a very weird thing, mustn't it? First you come out in the morning or in the evening to look after the sheep. You have this incredible encounter with the heavenlies. And suddenly they disappear and you're left there. My Gideon, what just happened? But what was their response? It says, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And what was their response? It says, so they hurried off. They heard the good news, and their response was one of, let's go and let's do it, guys. We've heard the word, let's do it. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. And in this situation, again, it's very difficult for us to understand what it would be like to listen to shepherds. What do they know? They're only shepherds. Isn't the Gospels all about that? It's all about the unusual people with the gold from heaven, the woman who was broken down with the alabaster jar. You'll be remembered. It's all the insignificant people that Jesus just moves around with and hangs out with and brings his revelation to, because they know they are in need. They know they're outside. They know that people don't like them. They know that no one else likes them. The Lord does. He said, I'm a shepherd. Just like them. And so we've got to learn as people to recognize the people that the Lord honors. And it's the poor. It's the broken. It's the smelly. It's the drug addicts. You can name them. And Jesus in Isaiah 53 says this, that he was a man of no particular appearance, but he's a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering. Why was that? Because he came to give hope to those who are full of sorrow and familiar with sufferings. And then it goes on to say, he carried upon him their infirmities and their sorrow. Because he wants to lead us out of our situation into the presence of the King. And all are invited. But not everybody responds. And so the outsiders were delighted that they had become insiders, that God had revealed himself to them, of all people, not to Caesar Augustus, the powerhouse of the country, but to the lowly, the poor, the despised. He came to show his glory to them, because that's kind of how he works, as I've seen over these years. So people were amazed at what they had to say. And then we have this wonderful thing. It says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And it must have been an amazing thing for her that one, she'd been called by God to have Jesus as her son. But she didn't go around boasting about it, did she? She held those wonderful stories in her heart between her and God, sharing with him that amazing thing that God had done to use her. And then it says, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they heard and had seen, which were just as they had been told. So it's an amazing story, isn't it? I think it's a fantastic story. It just blows me away. And in concluding, and I do mean that, God wants to break into the ordinariness of our lives. And we're not always going to have the superpower encounters, but God wants to break into the situations we find ourselves in. He wants to reveal his Son, to reveal his glory, and to reveal his plan for your life. Because it's good news. It's joy to all men and women. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's good news to everybody here. Let's pray. So Lord Jesus, I've just been really challenged by the way you manifest yourself upon the earth. You restrain your power in order to get alongside people like us. I'm even blown away by the place you decided to be born, in a humble dwelling, out of the sight of man, in a lowly place. It's not the place that a superstar would choose. And Lord, you chose the place for your most spectacular act of worship and glory was outside the city wall, upon a rubbish heap, with a handful of people there. And through that, Lord, you came and saved mankind and brought us into relationship with you. And so, Lord, I just pray just over this Christmas that you'd shake up our eyes and that you'd bring fresh revelation of this story, our history. And I pray that you'd help us to see how God works in the most unusual ways. It's in the lowly, the insignificant, the humble, the contrite, the poor of spirit. That's where the glory of the Lord resides. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to take hold of that, Lord. It's so different from the world that we see around us. but it's how you work and how you operate, Lord. And we pray that we can take hold of that and not think anything's too small for us to get involved with, that we will not despise the day of small things, that we would see your place and your part in that, that it's through that that you show your glory. And so, Lord, we thank you for coming to earth. Thank you for this wonderful story of you revealing yourself to us. And we just pray, Lord, that you continue to show us more about you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.